are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Cultural norms and societal expectations often place significant pressure on men to conform to specific roles and ideas, from being seen as the primary breadwinner to exhibiting toughness and emotional restraint. These expectations can conflict with a biblical view of what it means to be a godly man. In this discussion with Pastor Andrew Phiri, we're going to be exploring how Christian men can navigate and redefine cultural expectations by aligning their identity with God's design for manhood. Right? Welcome to the show, Mfundisi. Long time no chatting to you. How are you?
Man, it's been too long. I am very well. How are you?
I'm good, Mfundisi. Thank you for coming in. I'm so glad that you came on this topic.
Why?
I don't know.
No, it's good to be here.
Indeed. Before we get into it, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Sure. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we grapple in the dark without your guidance. And so even as we get into this discussion, we will get nowhere if we don't have you leading. So please lead at this conversation, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. When I saw the topic, the first thing I did was to laugh. And I was like, but today we're going to deal with that issue that bothers me. I'm a woman, but it bothers me, you know, the issues of expecting men to be breadwinners, you know. But we're going to get there, somewhere there, you know. So looking at, you know, different cultures, I know that we all have different cultures, but we can all agree that they are universal cultural understandings and expectations that are there. So even though you're from a different culture, I believe that it will, you know, resonate with other men there. So looking at some common cultural expectations, Mfundiswami, what are those that we can find that we are saying, whatever culture you're from, this expectation is there, you know, on a man? And how do they impact your identity as men?
Very good question, and I was looking at it earlier. One of them is, like you've put it, being the primary breadwinner is I think it's a common one anywhere you go. There's ones where here we say mamuna sama lila, like boys don't cry.
Yes.
And it's common everywhere, impacting on men's mental health because, you know, life is happening. And you're not expected to cry. And then you've got things like, oh, men must have emotional restraint, so you mustn't show emotions. I think those are some of the common ones across the board. You find them just about anywhere.
Yes.
Oh, men must be aggressive. You know, if you're not aggressive, then you're not a man.
You're a sissy.
Yeah. So I might be bringing up a new topic, but even when a woman says no, men are taught to keep pursuing.
Yes.
And it becomes a very fine line because sometimes it can be abuse. I've already said no, and it's a complete sentence, but you keep coming and you keep doing this, you know. So those are some of the, like, very common across the board. Men must be aggressive, persistent, you know, never back down and things like that.
And as you're saying that one, we also do have that one, I think, in all languages, in Ndonekali, etc., you know, men does not cry. We all have that. And it does affect you. And when you are saying the issues of, you know, of mental health, it just reminded me on Saturday. Yeah, after Sabbath, we had a couples meeting. You know, it's a couples thing that we do on a monthly day. And one of the conversations that we had was for men to be vulnerable. You know, and it also came up that we're not built like that. You know, so I'm glad that we also are raising it that it's not foreign to certain people. It's something that is throughout. You know, the cultures. So looking at this. Societal pressures that are there, you know, how do they now conflict with a person's understanding of their Christianhood, right? Because here we are, we're seeing the likes of David pouring their hearts to God, but society, be tough, you know. So looking at these things, the pressures that are coming there, how do they now conflict with our Christian understanding of what a man should do or what a man is.
So when I was thinking about just the whole idea of culture, and I get surprised that sometimes people treat it as if it's static, but it's very dynamic, because these are things that came up at some point in our human experience, and people thought this is what worked best. So those are things that come up when, you know, after you've shared with your wife your weakness, and then you notice the respect has gone down since I shared that I am afraid of something. So now she teases me about it. Then now you decide, no, I should stop sharing these things. So when you're sitting with other men, you tell them, men, don't share these things with your wife. The respect will go down. And then it becomes a thing and becomes part of culture. But it's not going to be everyone's experience that when you show your weakness, or when you show your fear, that your wife will tease you about your fears. So some of the things, or some of the areas in which culture or societal norms can conflict with the Bible, things like compassion or humility. You know, a man in Scripture is encouraged. In fact, just believers generally are encouraged to be humble. You find some of that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I think, coming down, or in Ephesians chapter 1. In fact, the entire book of Ephesians has a few nuggets here and there about our identity in Christ. Then it also encourages servant leadership. And then there's also another thing, and I like it that it's step up for boys, right? But then I want to include the husbands, because there's expectations of a husband communicated in Scripture that, you know, are clearly at odds with culture. You know, because there was a sermon that Pastor Papo preached where it says, if you come home and you find that food hasn't been cooked, it's not your time to now start shouting at your wife, because Scripture says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, who dragged his tired body to the cross. So then if you come home and the wife hasn't cooked, because there's a valid reason for not, you drag your tired body to the kitchen and you go make food for the family. That's the Bible communicating what a man should do. But since we're talking about boys, we're talking, there's a level of softness to a man in the Bible. There's humility, there's compassion, and, you know, there's servant leadership. It's not always roughness and aggression and all of that.
Others, they will ask you, where's my food? Bafo, you have hands. I'm joking. We're not going to say it like that. What I'm just saying. Now you have hands. I'm joking. We're not really going to say that. You know,
if you say it that way, it's going to be war now.
Now you're starting something else that you can't finish, you know. So when, when we're looking at the Bible, you know, because with everything, Vele, we look unto the Bible, we read from the Bible, we get advice, we get counsel from the Bible there. What does it teach us in terms of the characteristics of a godly man, you know? Now it's going to the question, to this thing that always bothers me. Every time we are told that from the Bible, it's told that men should provide, you know, they are providers and everything else. I'm like, I nearly wanted to do Hosanna. I'm like, where in Scripture does it say that? But anyway, you know, because it's a teaching in Fundis that we're finding, even from the pulpit, that there was a conversation that I was having the other time about boy children. And I'm like, for example, I don't know, you'll tell us, maybe it's there. Maybe me, I'm just being, you know, me. And I'm like, for example, with my two boys, imagine from this tender age, at home, I'm telling them that, you know, they must provide. They must go to school so that tomorrow, you know, they can be providers, etc., etc. When they go to church, they're being told that from the pulpit. They're being taught that, you know, all those common things I spoke about, a man must not cry, a man must not do this, and a man is a provider and everything else. And I was like, looking at the society that we are living in now, things have changed a whole way around. If me and you, Mfundisi, we can go to Harvard, the both of us. We can pass with cum laude, the both of us. We can have the very same work experience. But when it comes to a job, I will get hired instead of you just because I'm a female. But now it deals with you mentally, because you have been taught from a very young age, and not only from society, also from the church as well, that you must provide. So that kills I believe it kills men a lot because there's this expectation that's there from them, from all fears of life, and they are struggling to meet that because of all the issues that are happening currently in the world, you know. So with that, my preamble, you know, what are some things, what are the characteristics that we're getting from the Bible that are telling us what a godly man is?
So, first of all, I would like to speak to this preamble that you brought up before I bring in the other things I wanted to talk about. I think that my consideration of the current state of affairs, like you've put it, has forced me to go back to the scriptures and find God. I need to find an answer because that's the reality that you just mentioned, that women folk are getting hired more than men folk are. And for a lot of people, this whole idea of being the provider, as we've understood it, is becoming more of a pipe dream because I'm not making more than my wife is making.
Yes.
Right. But I think the comfort I have found, and I say I because I want this to be a personal one, not a corporate one, is that there's a structure I find in scripture. First of all, I take it from God being who's been ascribed a masculine attribute, and him being Yahweh Jireh, who is provider. And then I see different family structures of characters in scripture who seemed to, because I mean the Bible is set in a patriarchal society, and so the men are mentioned more, and it's mentioned as though they provide. But my understanding is when I come to the New Testament, I'm given the image of Christ being the head of the church, and then the church being the body of Christ. I understand as the head does the thinking, but the body does the executing. So provision in that sense, I take it as having the vision and being the visionary of the family, knowing where you want the family to go. You may not have the resources, but know where the family is going. And if you can get somebody to journey with you, a spouse who can buy into your vision and submit to the vision, then you can take the family in the direction you've communicated you want to take the family to, with all the resources the family can pull together. That's me. That's how I've chosen to understand the man being the provider. That I pull the resources of the family together and then communicate to my partner and say, based on what we've brought in, I think this is how we can apportion this for us to get to where I communicated we are going, this vision that God has given me and that you have submitted to. So I'm pulling all, I'm like a manager. So I'm pulling all these resources together and this is where we're going. And submissively or in agreement, the body says, yes, that's where we're going. And then the body moves that way. At least that's what I understand. But then there's, I want you to read from Galatians chapter 5, from verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Now, as I'm reading this, you will hear a lot of the things that culture promotes from men. And then you come and hear what the Spirit now then introduces to us. So, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Those are commonly masculine arrangements. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So these are the characteristics God wants to see in his sons. You know, self-control, gentleness, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's what he wants to see in his children. But then the works of the flesh on the other side, which are commonly in our society, you know, a man is a man based on how many women he can pull or sleep with. You know, and you're respected if you, you know, and that's the unfair measuring stick when a man says, I've slept with 100 women, you're a man, you're a man. And then a woman says, I've slept with 100 men, you're a prostitute.
Yeah.
You know, such an unfair measuring stick. But scripture then says, these are the works of the flesh, and then the works of the spirit include self-control and all these other things. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And as you're saying there, I was reminded about this saying in my language. I don't know if you also have it. We say that, wanuna wanava. So you see that pumpkin, what is it? Vegetable plant. Now, when I laugh when English runs away when I have to describe things. So you see that that plant itself, because you put it, you put your seeds on the ground, and then when it sprouts, like it you, I can't explain. It goes on. It doesn't go up.
It spreads across
the ground.
Yes.
And then you see that if you have just a small portion, sometimes it would even jump, you know, to the other place and everything else. So we have that saying that, you know, a man is like that. He must. Yes. Hey, English today is not English. Yes, I was just reminded by that, you know, when you were saying that, you know, at, when you read him, we'll find some of the things that, you know, society encourages. And yes, I've heard, you know, such phrases that when you're a man, you know, you should just spread everywhere, like that particular plant there.
The
challenging one.
No, I think there's a version of that here as well, because I hear it being encouraged among certain circles, men. It's almost seen as honorable if you're able to spread across. So that makes sense.
So with that, Mpundiswami, we having men and boys, you know, being told, you know, such statements saying, if you're a man, spread, not a yonkinda, spread. You know, having being taught that if you're a man, you should be known by the strength of your fist, for example, you know. How do we now, as a Christian community, here we are already a Christian community, because and then how do we now support men in terms of redefining their identities according to what the Bible actually says, rather than the cultural stereotypes? Because the moment you're going to spread out, you're against what the Bible is saying. The moment you're going to be using your fist, you're against what the Bible is saying in the book of Ephesians. You're not loving your wife if you're going to turn them into a punching bag, you know. So there are quite a number of issues that when we look at them, what society is encouraging or might encourage, because it's not all societies, you know, and what the Bible is saying, it's not they are not aligning. So how can we support them now to realign so that their identity is the one that we're finding in Christ?
So I like that question. There's a Christian community that I interact with a lot. They actually have a corporate church program, that a class they run, and it's called Stepping Up, that's why I liked this study. I'm like, this sounds like that Christian community.
Yeah.
So they run this class for men particularly. And I actually want to see if I can enroll for that one, because this is where they have all this material for men stepping up, and they focus on biblical manhood or godly manhood.
Yeah.
Right. And some of the things that you find in there, you focus on your identity in Christ, which is in Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians, particularly chapter 1, chapter 2, highlights a lot about our identity. Then you can also just encourage people to prioritize their relationship with God.
Yes.
And then seeking support from Christian communities. So like, I am reaching out to this Christian community to see, hey, what can I learn from this class that you're running? And what information from the Bible are you going to pull out that will help me understand my identity in Christ and godly manhood? So those are some of the things I'd encourage, even like churches, if there's people that are listening who are leaders in church, like intentionally run programs or classes or whatever it is that you can do for men, for boys, so they can learn their identity in Christ, because culture is all around us. promoting a lot of these things. And, you know, when you go to the office, you're told you must be the provider. But the one who's telling you you must be the provider is the manager who's getting a lot more money than you are.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, when you go home, you're going home to your wife who is a doctor who gets three times what you get.
Yeah.
When you say I must be the provider, you're saying I must work harder. Okay, cool. I can work harder. But that will take me away from my children.
Mm.
And I've purposed that I should be present for my children. You know, so it's a really tough experience that men need these spaces where they can just interact and engage, even using scripture, so that some of these things can be figured out properly with fellow believers as well.
Yeah, we are learning today. Men, if you're out there and you also want to participate, the number is +27734703520. So, point is, as we about to wrap up today's discussion, right, how can now the men live out their faith while balancing cultural expectations and God's calling in their lives? Because I'm thinking, Pundis, I don't know, you might not want to be that odd one out in the community, or you would be fine with being the odd one out in the community. So I don't know how can they now balance that out?
So I think that as Christian communities, we can provide support for men. Here, back in the day, where people drank together, or, you know, they had insaka, as we call them, insaka, where they would sit in a circle and just exchange ideas. That was a support system. But now we can build such support systems based on the Bible and our identity in Christ, and where we just search scriptures for these teachings that, you know, bring out the best of manhood. Because I believe that when God is telling Adam and Eve in Genesis, be fruitful and multiply, it's not just barely a command to have babies. But it's God telling two perfect people he's created to populate the world with perfection. So be fruitful and multiply this goodness all over the earth. So if we can get such programs and begin to proliferate and just multiply among the men, I think it would be such a great benefit to, first of all, our own church community, but then also the communities where we are coming from, because those sons we have who have healthy fathers, those sons we have who have healthy friends, because if their friends are the ones doing these programs, these step-up programs, they will be healthy for their friends. They will impact on their friends that way. And in the long run, it might impact on being a healthy country at the end of it. But sincerely, it's just Christian communities can, you know, come together to support promoting biblical teachings, encouraging vulnerability, authenticity, and fostering a lot of these accountability relationships, where people must just be able to say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with.
Yes.
You know, yesterday I was having a chat with ambassadors, and there was a young man who came to me, and he says to me, I want to show you something. And he shows me, and he's cutting his skin. And he says, I haven't shown my parents. I can't show them.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, why is it so difficult for you to explain that you're having these mental difficulties that are causing you to cut? Why is home so unsafe that you can't explain these things so much that you come tell me? I mean, I'm not a stranger to this young man. I'm very close to him. But for some reason, he feels more safe telling me. And he was begging me, please don't tell my mother.
I said,
you know me, I will not tell her. You and I will talk, we'll figure this thing out. You will be better. But yeah, so it's Christian communities can really build some of these spaces.
Mm. And as you're saying there, that we need to build those. I think we almost people that are involved, almost everyone that's involved, we have found, instances where a child or someone would say, please don't tell, because yes. They have found that safe space with us. So I'm really appreciative of that. And I'm going to ask that you give us your closing remarks regarding the issues of society and the pressures. And then also, please do offer a word of prayer to these men, that because there are those that are succumbing to the pressures, that are there for them to know that that is not the way, there is a better way out there.
Yeah. My closing thought would be the blessing that God gives Abraham mm-hmm. for the rest of the world. He says, through you, the rest of the world would be blessed. And then everything that he's revealed through the family that comes out of Abraham is for the rest of the world to be blessed. Mm-hmm. So biblical manhood is among those things that's supposed to bless the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we must find courage in living right, even when it is hard. Because it is through that we impact the world and the world is blessed. Because the worldly standards are not better than God's standards.
Mm.
But the world needs to see God's standards lived through us. Because talked about, they sound nice. But people want to see how does it look like when it's lived out.
Yeah.
And it's for us to live them out. So those that are in a position to teach the younger generation godly manhood, please do that. Pour your life out. Our first vocation is the work of God. Then these employments, the office where we go to, that's secondary. In fact, God has us be paid there so that we can do the work of God in God's kingdom. So let's focus on building God's kingdom first. Help those young people live godly lives.
Yeah. Please do offer a word of prayer for us, Buddhists.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, you're so good. And I know these topics are brought because you've planned it out this way. Somebody needed to hear the word today, shared the way it has been shared, and somebody has been impacted. So glory be to your holy name. And I take none of it, dear God. It's all for you and it's all about you. So you, dear God, do the work that you're doing in our lives. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Andrew, thank you so much for coming through to talk to us. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you very much, Sanele. You have a blessed day too.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.